communities could adopt. You know, if you have a housing code infrastructure already, we have a staff person, but part of the reason we have a staff person is we're really trying to perfect the model, and then others could do it, you know, without somebody. Thanks.
Which one is it? Hi, everyone. I'm going to be really quick. My name is Lori Stillman, and I don't have any disclosures. I paid for this advertisement. Basically, out of the work that we have done with the Boston Public Health Commission and the Boston Housing Authority that was funded through the Kellogg Foundation, they've done some terrific things about implementing integrated pest management into the Boston Housing Authority, and we really wanted to capture a lot about what they have done, because particularly in sort of affordable housing environments, there really needs to be a new strategy for doing IPM. It's not only a technical strategy, it's a social strategy that brings partners together. We put together a toolkit that actually allows housing managers to understand how the partnerships work and some of the technical learning so that they don't have to reinvent the wheel. And I'm just going to go over a bit about the toolkit, but what I really encourage you to do is we have the toolkits in the back of the room. Take as many back with you as possible. Thank you so much. Please take them, because it means we have to schlep them back to Boston with us, and we don't want to have to do that. But they're really useful, and I'm not going to go into the details about it, because it's all in there. I'm just going to give you a framework of what's in the toolkit. And everybody now knows, hopefully, what integrated pest management is. Why do we have a guide? Mostly because, as you know, pests, cockroaches and mice, are associated with asthma triggers, allergies, and really poor quality of life. It's a huge stress for people. In low-income housing, there's a lot of vulnerable people who are particularly sensitive to asthma, have all kinds of chronic diseases and other associated problems. There's, as Margaret described, chronic pest infestations in affordable housing, and there especially has been an overuse of pesticides, and that's basically how housing authorities do their work. They broadly and indiscriminately spray pesticides, and unfortunately, it's oftentimes expensive and not very effective. You know, with broad use of pesticides, oftentimes those cockroaches and mice build up immunities like we do to antibiotics, and they grow stronger and they come back, and it's really not very effective. So why IPM? We, in this particular case, and it's certainly shown in many instances, but I'm going to show you in the last two slides how effective it can be. It's a more effective way of controlling pests. It is a better way of controlling time and money. It is more expensive initially, but in terms of being able to the workers themselves not having to spend so much of their time, the maintenance workers, attending to taking care of the pest control problems, they can put their time to doing other kinds of important work. IPM promotes healthier living environments. There's lower risks of pesticide toxicities and poisonings. And the most important thing is, you know, residents get pissed. And, you know, they just get pissed by having to live in these conditions, and it creates a horrible relationship with the management of the housing authorities. By having a team approach and working on it collectively, you really can improve sort of the whole residential environment as well. What we do in this toolkit is focus on the major areas of how to control pests. And this is, by the way, from the perspective of housing managers. Although it is a team approach, this is really made for housing managers who want to implement the team approach to IPM. And it talks about how to monitor first for the pest infestations, how to exclude them from not only the exterior envelope but the interior units, how to remove the food and the water that encourages pests, how to treat them very, specifically with hopefully the least toxic pesticides possible, but looking towards other methods of exclusion and sanitation first. Ensuring that documentation happens, this is a very important piece, because, you know, in order to do IPM, and we do say that occasionally you need to use pesticides, in order to do it in the most targeted way possible, you need to document where the problems are. And so those are where you treat. So documentation is important. It's also very important because the managers are going to have to explain to their bosses why it's important for them to invest in IPM. And so to be able to show the improvements are very important. So documentation and evaluation is important. But of course, partnerships with tenants, with management, with the pest control folks are really, really critical in doing this work. And so the main components of the toolkit also talk about who should be part of the team and what they should be doing. The IPM coordinator is usually somebody on the premises, a paid person, who they don't have to be a licensed pesticide contractor, but they should know about how IPM works, and they would be the person who would mostly interface with the IPM contractor. We'd have residents' assistants, who basically are residents themselves who are trained in IPM, who will actually work with the pest control people to go into the apartments, talk with the tenants, help tenants to prepare their units for IPM services, help inform the residents about their roles in this whole process. We recommend an IPM resident champion, somebody who's well-respected in the housing authority, who can talk up IPM and how important it is, and also the IPM contractor themselves. These are the people that are part of the team. Hopefully, they're going to be the ones who are all going to be trained together, work together, develop their action plans, develop their policies together to make this work. We also give information in the toolkit about hiring and overseeing an IPM contractor. This is really important because, as we've been talking to many different peoples, both advocates and in government, we realize that IPM is becoming a real in thing, and there's a new sort of business being, you know, people calling themselves IPM contractors, but not really knowing how to do the work. And so this really helps the managers understand and be able to lay out what the kinds of skills and experience that they're going to expect from the people that they hire to do this work, and that these contracts are not just going to be, you know, pay as you go, but they're going to be performance-based contracts that where the they're going to be agreed upon goals for reducing the pest infestations. The payment isn't going to be how many times you come and visit and spray pesticides, but more, what are the improvements that we're going to be able to see? And we also have in the toolkit actually specifications, bid specifications for IPM contractors. So, you know, it really makes it so easy for them to be able to do this work. We talk about how to set up the IPM program, the training that's involved, the different roles that are involved for the different people, and how important it is to be very clear about those roles, how to encourage participation, you know, developing flyers, communicating your program, creating a clear action plan. That action plan would include things like identifying the kinds of pests that there are, identifying where the biggest problems are, the time schedule that you're going to use to not only do, you know, set bait traps and things like that and understand where the big problems are in the general buildings but also in the units, but how each unit is going to be inspected and followed through and what the time period is going to be. You know, and it talks about how to develop a written policy as a team so that it's very clear what pesticides are going to be allowed, what pesticides are not going to be allowed, and what the expectations are, both for management as well as tenants, in order to make this work. I talked about the action plan and also about what emergency conditions might constitute an emergency so that management would respond very quickly. But you know, none of this is easy. And with any kinds of changes, it's not easy. And it talks about some of the challenges for management. And one of those is that it's, you know, when staff have been doing the same thing all the time, it's hard for them to get them to do new things. And this is a new way of doing things. It's not walking around with a canister on your back. You know, it's really doing visual inspections, fixing the buildings, really working with tenants in a more respectful way. It takes time to do this and, you know, a new way of doing business. And that's why it's really important to have managers and champions who are really going to try and work to help people change in a positive way. Similarly, it's hard for residents to change as well. They've had a history of pest infestations forever. And oftentimes, you know, they put in their work orders, they don't get respected, it takes forever for the, you know, they're feeling a lot of frustration. But also, you know, there are a lot of people who live in low-income housing who have all kinds of physical and mental disabilities that make it hard for them to take on the responsibilities they need to do in terms of sanitation, in terms of setting up their apartments to, you know, make the whole IPM happening. And also, you know, many residents are from other countries, and they have had their own uses of illegal pesticides that have been effective, but they're really, really toxic. But it's part of their culture, it's worked, and so it's hard to give up those old practices. So there's a lot of challenges both on the side of management and residents that have to be overcome in doing this. And that's why it's really important as part of this whole process to publicize successes regularly. When people feel like they can see how this is working, you know, then people take more pride and ownership and maybe are willing to do things differently. And so these last two slides are from Margaret. They have, with the Kellogg Foundation grant, worked with Boston University to do an evaluation and to see whether this has actually worked at a number of their sites. So you've got site A, B, C, and D, all with a different number of units. And the purple bar shows, this talks about work orders. In other words, when there's a pest problem that somebody has, they fill out a work order, a tenant, and asking for it to be addressed. And as you can imagine, probably the largest number of work orders come from pest infestation requests. So looking at how work orders may have changed pre and post IPM are really an effective way of seeing how everybody's lives have improved, not only the tenants' lives, but the workers' lives too, in terms of how much time they're spending in doing this. And as you can see, the pre-IPM, how many work orders were done, and then in just 1 year's time after IPM was implemented, that purple bar, look how far it's really gone down in terms of those work orders. And in year two, it's pretty well where it has been implemented for more than 1 year. This is a pretty new program. It still has pretty well held steady, a huge decrease in work orders. A lot of people ask, what is the cost for IPM? And, you know, there's different studies. Some show that, you know, it's a little investment in the beginning, and but over time, it usually, with the less work orders, and once you've got the envelope taken care of and the major structure put in, that over time, it pays for itself. This has only been tracked for a year or two, and it's very clear that the initial investment for IPM is much higher than doing regular pesticides. But there is a lot of hope on the part of the BH Boston Housing Authority staff that if we look at this maybe 5-10 years down the road, that it actually will pay for itself. But the best, I think, the most important thing out of all of this is that BHA is committed to this one way or the other, because even though it might not be a return on investment, it's cost effective. That is, for every dollar they were paying before for pesticide control, it wasn't working. Now, even though they're spending more money, it is working. So it is cost effective from their point of view, and they're committed to it for the long term. So we're hoping that you will, in the back of the room, we have the policy paper, which we hope you'll bring back and think about how we might institute this and sustain it over the long term through better policies. We have this toolkit. We hope you'll share it with your housing developments where you come from. And we also have a DVD. And take as many as you want. On the DVD, not only do we have a housing manager from Boston Housing Authority talking to other housing managers about how incredibly great it is, but we also have tenants in Spanish and English explaining to other residents about how to do integrated pest management and pest control. So feel free to take those with you, and thank you very much.
Any questions specifically for Lori? Any other comments, questions? Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah.
You know, I put all my cards on the back of the table.
So let me go. Yes, okay. I'll grab it with you.
Nice to meet you.
Oh, nice to meet you. I want to talk to you about your program. We're really working on.
I keep saying that.
Really
great thing.
Becoming, we get referrals from health centers and hospitals, but we're not really as connected. We've been moving towards much more.
So it's
not
cheating.
So I'd love to hear. If we could get to the point where referrals are being made, not for free.